You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
A very active trade deadline. We're getting word that DJ LeMahieu has a triceps issue and Gio Urshela has a hamstring issue. According to Ricky Ricardo, who does Spanish radio for the Yankees.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, but you should rethink Ricky.
Why? Just because of I Love Lucy?
That's right.
Well, so it'd be better if it was Rich Ricardo?
Or Rick.
Or Rick Ricardo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, who's one of the biggest actors going right now? Was it Michael B. Jordan? Is it B?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think he throws the B in?
Because he can't legally use Michael Jordan, probably.
Well, he can legally use his own name, but he doesn't want to be confused.
No, but when you're in the business, you can actually, if you're SAG after, I think makes your. That's why it was Michael J. Fox, not because he was somebody who was highfalutin. There was a Michael Fox that was an actor.
Huh. Listen, I think Ricky Ricardo does a terrific job, not only with the Yankees but the Eagles.
Yes,
but he should have went with Rick.
I'll tell him you said that.
Rick Ricardo.
Well, yeah, tell him I said everything.
I will.
You got to include it all, though.
Yeah, include it all. He won't, though.
No, I will. Just like I'll include everything that you say to Paul Olden.
Please, in bold type.
Let's get to more important things.
I like to
okay?
Say myself
we have one of the greatest of all time waiting on hold. We're not going to have this nonsense go on while he waits. Bob Costas returns to HBO tonight with Back on the Record with Bob Costas, and it is 11 p.m. You could see it, and it's on HBO Max. You could stream it. It's exciting, and he's here with us now, and we love him. Yeah. Hi, Bob.
I don't consider that to be an appreciative enough introduction. Could you start over?
I sure could. He's the greatest of all time. Here he is, Bob Costas.
He's the GOAT.
Stop it. You know what? As I listened in, I didn't hear the previous hour because we were just finishing up taping the show, which airs tonight, but I, too, was unfamiliar with the Yankees' Spanish-language radio broadcast, so this is the first that I heard that the guy's name is Ricky Ricardo, and I'm sure he's terrific, but for those of us of a certain age, it conjures up a certain image. You figure that his broadcast partner is Fred Mertz.
But you would think, though, Bob, people of our age would know Ricky Ricardo, but somebody who's 20 or 30 would have no idea that Ricky Ricardo is Ricky Ricardo.
Absolutely not. And everything, it seems, if you're around long enough and you've experienced enough, almost everything leads to a story. So you mentioned Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
You want to hear a story that involves Michael J. Fox?
How could we not?
Okay. It starts out in a less than joyous circumstance. It's Muhammad Ali's memorial service 5 years ago in Louisville. And so many people want to attend, they hold it in the arena where the Louisville Cardinals play basketball. It started about an hour and a half after it was supposed to start. And it drew people from all walks of life, including various people with sports backgrounds. So now, waiting for it to start, groups are in little clusters conversing. And I'm in one of those little groups when in walks Don King, in full Don King regalia. The hair is the Don King hair. He's wearing the jeans jacket with the American flag across both the front and the back. He's waving two American flags and beaming despite the solemnity of the occasion. And as he approaches our group, he feels as if he has to provide like a short caption for each person. So he approaches and he says, Mike Tyson, once the most feared man in the ring, Coach Pat Riley, straight off the pages of GQ, Sugar Ray Leonard, not a mark on him, still as beautiful as a child. Katie Couric, America's sweetheart. And then he turns to me and he goes, Michael J. Fox.
Wow.
You know, we're sort of roughly the same size, right? So now Katie kind of gently goes, Don, it's Bob Costas. And he's so shameless, without missing a beat, he goes, Bob Costas, greatest commentator in the world.
Wow.
Didn't even acknowledge the mistake.
That's
amazing. Just kept right on plowing through.
That's fantastic.
All right, so tell us about this show. What is this show about? It's four times a year from what I'm reading. And
right.
Tonight is the first one. And Bomani Jones is also part of the show.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to retire, but I don't want to work as hard as you're working, doing the radio show and doing the ball games. I want to do an occasional ball game on the Major League Baseball Network, you know, a dozen or so a year. And I wanted to do some stuff on HBO. I loved being on HBO the first time. Happy that they asked me back. It was designed to be quarterly, but then COVID pushed us back a couple of times. So we're going to get the four for 2021 in consecutive months, July through October. And the title of the show tells you we're not reinventing anything. It's Back on the Record. I had the On the Record show that began in 2001 and ran through 2008 on HBO. And then when the Baseball Network came into existence, I really wanted to get back to baseball. And HBO at that time said, we want you to stay, but you can't do both. We need cable exclusivity. Talk about a difficult choice, because HBO is a gold standard, but baseball is baseball. So I went to the Baseball Network. Now the landscape has changed, and HBO invited me back. So the idea is long-form interviews, some commentary, entertaining, I hope, but also with some journalistic elements. In the past, we've had non-sports people on, and we will again. First time around, I'm going off the top of my head, Billy Crystal and Jon Stewart and Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld, Tom Hanks, Bruce Springsteen, et cetera, et cetera. J-Lo was a guest at one time. So we'll do something like that eventually. But tonight's first show, Charles Barkley, Ali Raisman, whom we booked about a month ago thinking, well, it's during the Olympics and it'll be timely, becomes even more timely because of the Simone Biles story that broke. And Ali and Simone are very close. And she also talks with a great deal of emotion, but also she's a very bright young woman, Ali Raisman. And the way she expresses herself about what she'll always cherish about gymnastics, but what has to a certain extent permanently scarred her, because she was among those abused by Larry Nassar, is pretty arresting stuff. And as we mentioned, Bomani Jones, who some of your audience may be familiar with, some not, but those of us in the business know that Bomani is a really good television performer, provocative. And my whole approach to this is, I don't need an echo chamber. I may agree with him sometimes. I may disagree with him sometimes, but he's certain to make an interesting point. So we carve out a little time for him. And then your very own David Cohn is on a panel, along with Renee Montgomery of WNBA fame, who's now a part owner of the Atlanta Dream. So we think we've dotted a lot of I's and crossed a lot of T's for the first show, which is tonight, right after Bill Maher.
Yeah, you know, Bob, when you brought up Ali Raisman, we were thinking about all the things that have been going on with mental health, with professional athletes. And you wonder, a lot of these things are happening because now not only do these athletes have the courage, but there's the outlet now to express that it's too difficult for me to be able to get through this. Do you think we would have lost maybe some moments in the past if, you know, during what Roger Maris was going through, during what Hank Aaron was going through, Jackie Robinson, what they were going through, any pressure moment over the last 50 to 100 years, if we were more fine-tuned with mental health then as we are now, would some of those things not happen?
Yeah, it's certainly a reasonable point, but all the people you mentioned came out of a different point in time, different prevailing sensibilities within the broader culture. And plus, social media is added to all this. Ali makes the point tonight that there was a question asked. No, I'm sorry. Renee Montgomery makes this point. She says they put a question, a serious one, because they thought it was a toss-up. Would you rather hit a game-winning shot? This was to WNBA players. Hit a game-winning buzzer beater or add 20,000 Twitter followers? And some people chose the latter. You know, if you're Simone Biles, who's very, very bright, he's 24 years old, okay? To us, social media, whether we embrace it, disdain it, or something in between, that's something that's been added to the media that we are familiar with. But if you're 24 years old, what happens on Twitter or Instagram may be of more consequence to you than a cover story on Sports Illustrated, in Sports Illustrated, or a thoughtful profile in a major newspaper or magazine. And if that's the case, if that's kind of your go-to, and I'm not saying it is with Simone, but to a certain extent, it certainly is, we know how non-representative of the public as a whole Twitter can be and social media can be. I'm sure there's some value there, but it's also a place of negativity. It's also a place of harsh judgments. It's a place where some people who've never accomplished a thing say nasty things about extremely accomplished people and do so with anonymity. And if you're continually getting that feedback, that can eat at you. But when it comes to Simone, I think there's a distinction between her and Michael Phelps, who's been an advocate for mental health post-swimming career, or even before he acknowledged it, but he's really out front about it now, or Naomi Osaka or people like that. Because with Simone, the first reaction was, well, this falls into the Naomi Osaka category. But now we find out that there's something in gymnastics called the twisties, which is a phrase they use or a word they use for when mentally you're not in sync with the things you're asking your body to do. Mm-hmm. And what Simone Biles is asking her body to do isn't just something that a tiny fraction of 1% can only do. She's the only one who can do it. Even other gymnasts can't do it. And when she was up in the air in the preliminaries and then in her first attempt, I guess, in the team competition, and we uncharacteristically saw her with an awkward landing and a near stumble, afterwards we found out that wasn't just kind of the normal physical mistake you can make. She's up in the air and she's disoriented. The sync between mind and body is out of whack. And when you're asking yourself to do that, it isn't just the possibility that you might have points deducted. You could have a catastrophic injury. And it was really that, the twisties, more so than, oh, all the stress, and I'm the cover girl, and I'm carrying the weight of the U.S. Olympic team on my shoulders because I'm the face of it. All that, I'm sure, played into it and might have helped to create that mental disconnect. But what caused her to withdraw was the feeling of being up in the air and not knowing where she was.
Bob, are you missing the Olympic coverage this time around between the Biles story, which has been crazy, and obviously the COVID, there's the storyline with U.S. basketball, or are you just as well to not be doing it?
No, it's behind me. It's been in my rearview mirror for a long time, and I don't say that dismissively. I did a dozen of them, Peter. And when I signed my last real contract with NBC in 2012, I stipulated that 2016 would be the end of my Olympic run. And they said, well, if you want to reconsider, you can always go one at a time. And then I told them in 2015, nope, I'm certain Rio is the last one. I just didn't want to announce it beforehand because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. So I had been preparing for that for a long time. So I'm, you know, pulling for my colleagues and friends in Tokyo. They're doing the job as best they can under very challenging and unique circumstances. But not once, either in the Winter Games in Pyeongchang in 2018 or now, I haven't even had it cross my mind once, I would have said this, or I would have done that, or I wish I could chime in on this. I'm glad I did it, very glad I did it, and now I'm glad I'm done.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Talking with Bob Costas. His show Back on the Record with Bob Costas debuts tonight, 11 p.m. on HBO. Now, we know you have a love for baseball. Do you remember, Bob, a trade deadline that was this active and this exciting and this many great players exchanging teams?
You know, I may have missed some of what happened today. The last thing I'm aware of that made an impact is Scherzer and Turner to the Dodgers for, as I understand it, their top two prospects. So the Dodgers anteed up. But still, you're talking about the team that is the reigning world champion from the last time they played a complete season. And Scherzer may make some sense, you know, mid-30s toward the end of a big deal. But Trey Turner is a young player in the prime of his career. This is really kind of it's interesting, not just for how it affects the Dodgers and the Nats, but it's interesting for what it might say about baseball going forward.
And you also have Javi Baez was traded to the Mets. Chris Bryant was traded to the Giants. So, and Andrew Heaney was going to the Yankees from the Angels. I know you were very interested in that one. So a lot of players have changed teams.
Well, the Yankees got Rizzo. I knew that. But I did not know, because I was taping until a few minutes ago, I didn't know about Baez and Bryant. I knew that Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo were all on the block. Is Kimbrel still a Cub?
No, Kimbrel was traded to the White Sox.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
have
to
three
pack.
great relievers: Hendricks, Kopech, and Kimbrel.
How about that?
Yeah, they're really going for it.
Suddenly, the White Sox. I don't know that it'll last because the Cubs fan base is deeper. But for now, the White Sox are Chicago's team.
You know what you need if you're a fan, you need an owner in his 80s, because you know he's going to spend because he's just not waiting for, you know, the farm system. He's going to go out and get it.
That's right, Jerry Reinsdorf fits that description, and that's why he brought Tony La Russa back. It was controversial, but he wasn't bringing him back for 5 years or to bring a young team along. He was bringing him back for a couple of years to win, and so far so good.
All right, so I've always wondered this because people ask me this, and I want to ask you this. So you sit down today, you're hosting Back on the Record. You've done everything in this business, every big event. When you sit down and they're counting you down, do you get nervous or not?
Not nervous, but just a little bit of a twinge of excitement, which is good. It's good. You know, say, hey, I'm back doing this. I'm back at HBO, which I always admired and was happy to be part of. There are some new people there on the crew, but I know a lot of them, producer, director, some of the cameramen and whatnot. So it's like old home week, and it's part of what I do. I like that long-form interview stuff. I like that exchange of ideas, and they give me space to do a commentary. I close with a commentary that will perhaps not please the poobahs of the IOC.
Ooh, well, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday I had a top 10 HBO scripted shows, and I made it 10 instead of 5 because not so much that there's so many great HBO shows, like, but they're all great. And I didn't even get into like shows like yours or Real Time or Last Week Tonight or Not Necessarily News or this miniseries. It just seems like HBO gets it more than any other network when it just comes to just hitting the right tone on anything that they seem to do. In all the different networks you worked for, is there just some way they go about it that they just seem to get it when it comes to putting together original programming?
Yeah, there's a real devotion to quality there, and that's within their sports productions. You think of the documentaries through the years that Ross Greenberg helmed. You think of, as you said, Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. It's just top-notch stuff. And one of the things they've always said to me is, it's not enough that the show be good. It has to feel like an HBO show. Mm-hmm. It has to feel like something you couldn't get anywhere else. Not that there isn't good stuff anywhere else, but there has to be a kind of sensibility that fits in. And I was happy to come back, and one of the only things I asked for was, since we're only doing 4 shows a year, I always wanted to be on a Friday night immediately after Bill Maher. I'm not comparing myself to Bill. I think he's fantastic. But I think there might be some overlap in sensibility between our audiences. So Bill is my lead-in 4 times a year.
Now, what for me, one of the most legendary things you did on that particular show, because Bob, as I've told you now ad nauseum, a fan of many of your vehicles over the years, was the sit down with Vince McMahon, which as a wrestling aficionado, dare I say it, we all regard that as one of the most interesting Vince McMahon conversations of all time. Would you be interested in revisiting a conversation with now a early 70s Vince McMahon? And furthermore, is there anyone else you'd like to sit down with maybe a second time this time around?
Well, I would definitely, if there was something in the news, let's say they tried to reboot the XFL, I would have Vince on if there was a legitimate news hook there. You know, the first iteration of the XFL, which is where we started in that interview 20 years ago, and he started to get ticked off right away because I was asking him legitimate questions as opposed to the things he's used to, which are scripted things, and he knows that he has, I should say, a reputation for sometimes blowing up at interviewers. He did the same thing with Armin Katayan, who is a very accomplished journalist with CBS and on HBO and various other places, 60 Minutes for a while. You may recall as he slapped the notes out of Armin's hands because he thought the line of questioning was inappropriate, which meant that it was annoying him. So the XFL had begun, and it was one of the colossal failures in the history of television. It got the lowest ratings, at least at that time, of any primetime program in the history of network TV. It opened high, like with a rating of 10 out of a curiosity factor, and then when people saw that it was a combination of kind of low-rent football and the tawdriest sensibility of what was then the WWF, they bolted on him. Okay, so that was the reason why he was on, and things got more and more heated, and if you want to talk more about that, we can. But the second go-round of the XFL, which people may have already forgotten about, was on its way to being very successful until the pandemic derailed it because they didn't try to impose a WWE sensibility. Right. They just set it up as a high level, like a AAA level minor league football, and they looked for cities that didn't have an NFL franchise. It was doing especially well in St. Louis, twice jilted by the NFL. They were drawing right. good crowds, and they were getting decent television numbers. You know, now every network, by the way, has its own sports platform. There used to be NBCSN, now it's Peacock. There's the CBS Sports Network, etc. So there's a place to put this stuff. And even if I don't share the obsession, it's pretty clear that there's a hunger for football in this country that will sustain an acceptable cable rating even in the springtime. The Alliance of American Football, Charlie Ebersol's brainchild, was also doing pretty well, but the league was underfinanced, and that's why it folded. But they actually got better numbers when they debuted on regular CBS than NBA playoff games that were on opposite them, early round NBA playoff games. So there's a place for a minor league football operation, could be called the XFL. If Vince wanted to bring it back, I'd have him on the show.
Beautiful. The show should be great, so I have to extend my DVR now from Bill Maher to 11 o'clock for Back on the Record with Bob Costas. You know we wish you only the best of luck. We love you. You're always great with us, so I hope the show is a huge hit.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Michael.
You got it. That's Bob Costas. You know what I have here in my hands, guys?
My prediction is a Chinese takeout menu that was slipped under your door.
No.
Yankee lineup?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Nobody can come near my door with menus. It's the Yankee starting lineup. It's brought to you by Bigelow Tea, and it's an interesting one, everybody. We've got Gleyber Torres leading off and playing short. Joey Gallo's in right field batting second. Hitting third, playing center field, Aaron Judge. Cleaning up is the first baseman, Anthony Rizzo. The number five hitter is the left fielder, Giancarlo Stanton.
Woo!
Batting sixth, playing second base, Rougned Odor. Batting seventh, the catcher, Gary Sanchez. Batting eighth, the third baseman, Tyler Wade. And batting ninth and pitching, Jameson Taillon. Now, if you just joined us, DJ LeMahieu, triceps issue, he's day-to-day. Urshela, hamstring issue, day-to-day. Yankees also DFA'd Ryan Lamar, and they optioned Albert Abreu back to Scranton. That's tonight's Yankees starting lineup against the Marlins, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Just saw a small video on Twitter of Jeter, the owner of the Marlins, standing with Mattingly, the manager of the Marlins, standing with Judge. And a lot of Yankee fans are commenting, three Yankee captains. I don't think they'll make, I don't think they would make Judge a captain unless they sign him to a long-term deal. But I would think that that would be the natural extension if he signs a long-term deal. You agree?
It only obviously now wouldn't be the time, so we'll find out. That would be the moment, though, right?
Yep.
He re-signs, and then they also throw that in?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got something to tell you. Oh, yeah, don't miss your chance to see the world's top-ranked PGA Tour players in action when they return to Liberty National Golf Club for the Northern Trust, the first event in golf's season-ending FedEx Cup playoffs. It's held August 18th to the 22nd in Jersey City, New Jersey. We've been there. It's beautiful. Secure your tickets at thenortherntrust.com and be listening to On the Tee with Anita Marks this Sunday at 8 a.m. for a chance to score a pair of tickets and see big names like Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, and many more. It's going to be the can't-miss event of the summer. All right, a lot of stuff to talk about. 1-800-919-3776. Don, very quickly before we go to break, has Carlin been allowed out of the basement yet? Will we talk to him?
Well, I spoke with him last night. Everything's good.
See, I just texted him. You took it the next step, didn't you?
No, I texted him.
Oh, so you didn't talk to him?
Well, you talked via text.
No, no, no. You texted, so you lied.
I didn't lie, but I don't think I represented it well.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.